Hey, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Today, we're so excited to have Jen Hand on as our first seed sender. Jen is the founder and executive director of Coming Alive Ministries. With a master's degree in trauma counseling, Jen is blessed to have traveled the world ministering in post-disaster situations in third world countries. We encourage you to listen for what seeds you have in common with Jen and to think about how you might send them out into the needs around you.
With so many different kinds of crises all around us, we can learn to help right where we are.
Well, Jen, we are so excited to have you here. Welcome to Grit and Grace.
Thank you, friends. I cannot believe I'm actually with you guys because I listen so much. This is so happy.
Well, Sherry is blessed to know you really well, but I'm super excited to learn more about your story today. So we're going to leave that kind of open-ended here at the beginning. Tell us your story and how God is working through you to impact other people.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I love the title in your book, Exhale, of chapter 15, You're Meant to Be Fully Alive, as it says, live in animation. That fits so well with my passion and my heart. So I love it. I am so blessed to be living my God-sized dream in that I had gone overseas and lived as a missionary and thought I would live and die in one country. And they would name a missionary offering after me. That was my life's goal. That was going to be, you know, someday they'd be passing, not the Lottie Moon, but the Jen Hand. So I had said yes to going overseas, went and lived in Nepal. Loved everything about it. Loved the people, loved the calling. But about halfway through my time there, since God saying, I'm not calling you to just one place or one people. And I had no idea what that would actually look like. But I felt a stirring that I was to come home in obedience. And so I did. And as I came home, I was traveling around looking at churches, speaking at churches, sharing my story of what had happened in the country I served in. And I noticed something. The country I served in worshiped dead gods and idols all around me. And then I came back to the church and I saw people that were just as dead inside, but knew the living God. Mm-hmm. And God began to birth in me a desire to, one, for me to live so fully alive in Christ, other people want to know the God who's alive in me. And two, invite people all around to come alive in Christ. So I have a ministry called Coming Alive, and every day that means something different. It can mean writing. It can mean counseling. I have a master's in trauma counseling. It can mean getting a call, can you come to Mozambique, Africa tomorrow, and saying yes. And or it can mean last week's giving the keynote speaking address at a conference for speakers and writers. So every day, a little different.
That's amazing.
Let's say you get a phone call to someplace like that and you say yes and hop on a plane. What does it look like when you get there?
Okay, I can say that really did, yes, indeed happen last month, actually. So they say natural disasters follow some people. I follow them. I'm not sure which. Sometimes you never know when I get there. But what happens is because I have this trauma debriefing skill, and I believe it is a calling to meet people in the holy ground of suffering. And so, for example, I got a call, can you come to Mozambique in 2 days? And when I got there, I didn't know anyone. I had never been to Africa. But what I do is I meet the people on the ground that are the leaders of the community, wherever it is, whether it's a remote village in Africa, or I was on the ground within days after Hurricane Harvey, as soon as the interstate was not underwater. And I meet with the local leaders, train and debrief them. How do you process in the midst of this sacred suffering time? How do you find God? Where all the questions that come, and then help them so they can go do that with the people in their community. And that can be anything from standing in Texas, I stood door to door with people with all their belongings outside and just stood with them and offered Emmanuel's God with us, his presence, and just being with people on the sacred ground of their suffering.
See, I love that so much, because what we're trying to paint a picture of in this series, Jen, is that we are called to fill a unique, like unique as in you're the only one who can fill it, niche in this world. And that is such a unique niche. I didn't even know people did that. And God's called you to do it. Amazing.
And what's amazing about how God makes us is I I believe the Lord has, for some reason, anointed me with an extra measure of joy. And so it would seem strange that this gal would go into the hardest of the hard and offer hope. But I believe God has gifted me to bring that joy with me to them in the time when they might just need to eventually throw their head back and laugh because sometimes you need that. And then sometimes you just need someone to cry with you. And I had no idea when I was born that the Lord was going to weave that into my story, but he has his plans and his ways. And here I am. I travel after earthquakes, cyclones, floods, you name it.
So basically what the rest of us are trying to avoid and run from and numb from, you're heading straight into. So this leads beautifully into my next question. So what seeds do you see that God has given you to create the impact that you're creating?
I just think it's so fun how the Lord uniquely makes us. For example, on the Strength Finders test, if you've ever taken it, I know you people at Grit and Grace, you love your personality test.
We love it.
So on Strength Finders, my number one is positivity, adaptability, woo. All those things make for, okay, yes, I have no plan, no idea what I'm going to do when I get there. There may be no electricity, no water. I can do it. I can be positive. I can enjoy.
Okay, I'm over here hyperventilating into a paper bag as you're talking. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but keep going. If I keel over, just ignore me.
I loved your face in that expression you made there, Sherry. So just having those gifts that maybe, you know, just God designed those because he knew the path he was going to take me on. And then also, I love to teach his word. I believe I'm very gifted in taking his word and making it come alive, not because of me, but because he's revealed it to me and then allows what he put in my personality to make it come alive in a way that I love taking that to places to encourage and lift up. And I'm going to be honest, I think God has given me a gift of humor. And I love to bring joy and humor into a situation that sometimes you just need a little light to break through the darkness.
Beautiful. Well, Sherry and I believe that we can fulfill all three of the big longings of a Jesus girl soul by glorifying God, loving others well, and satisfying our own soul. So how have you found that you've been able to do that as a seed sender in what God's called you to do?
I feel like, first of all, I am living the best dream of a lifetime because to get the chance to, through what I do, invite people to know the God that has loved me back to life and then use the unique ways he's made me. And what's fun about me is that sounds very boastful when I start out that way. I'm not being boastful. You'll get it when I say. What's fun is I have an identical twin sister. And one would think we would have we have the same DNA, same, you know, everything the same, except where we don't have the same callings and gifts because wow. God so uniquely made us. My sister, she says that, I mean, I don't know if I shall say this. You can edit it out if you want, but just the thought of being in an airport gives her diarrhea.
Oh, no, we're leaving that in.
Oh, yeah.
And so she says, I could never live the life that God has called you to do, to go alone by yourself, find your way, do the things. Now, meanwhile, she is keeping four humans alive, plus a husband and as a pastor's wife. And when I go and give them all the donuts, like last night, I gave my nephew chocolate ice cream. He was up all night. He's a baby. That's what's fun. I'm like, if I try to live your life, that's not what God has uniquely made me to do. So I feel I am living my God-sized dream, not anyone else's.
I love it. Now, when I first met you, the cynical part of me was like, well, goody, goody, gumdrops for her. She's had this wonderful, easy life, and she's so filled with joy. And to the point that I was a little nauseated. And at one point, we were having a group convo, and I had tuned out, and I gave you some critical feedback that it turns out I was wrong on because I hadn't listened well enough to the whole story. So could you share with our listeners who might tend towards cynicism like me, who are like, well, isn't that nice that God wired her to be perfectly positive and gave her an easy life so she can just step in and do these things? Has your life been so perfect? Is that why you're so joyous?
Oh, I've been asked that many times. Do you have that joy? It must be false. Or I have to say, no, it is a gift. And I have walked through dark years. For example, 2013, my dad went through his second round of rare leukemia and was in the hospital for 31 days at the same time that my sister and her whole family was in an accident where a deer went through their minivan window. And all four out of five of my family members were in different wings of the hospital. And what I can tell you I learned during that time, and on the good days, the bad days, the in-between days, is this: faith is believing in the darkness what God shows you in the light. And what I do know is I can have joy if I look for God in the light, so that in the dark days, that same light I can believe in. And so, yes, I do have joy, but it comes from knowing his truth. It's only in his truth, and that he doesn't change. On those days, he doesn't change. When, let me tell you, when you walked to Nepal, where you lived and worked and loved those people, and you see a village completely in ruin by an 8.1 earthquake that hit, and they ask you to come bring hope. And I remember standing in front of that village, there were still bodies piled up, bodies buried inside. And the church they had been having church when the earthquake hit, and people were buried, still alive in there. And I knelt down on that sacred ground of suffering, and I've never seen anything like it. I mean, just complete horror. And I said, Lord, I have no hope to give here. There's no hope to give here. And then I looked up and I saw, amongst all that rubble, the only thing that still remained that you could still tell what it was the cross that had been on the top of the church. And it still stood among all that rubble. And the Lord told me, Jen, there is always hope beneath any rubble. And that's what I've had to live by.
Okay, we're doing teary praise hands over here. It is like, wow, that is so powerful.
Well, and let me just go ahead and tell our listeners that we're going to be inviting Jen back when we do a full series on suffering. So, Jen, you're going to have to say yes, because I've announced you now.
No pressure. No pressure. I would be so honored. I would love it.
Wrap us up here, Jen. Tell us one seize the yay or joy-filled moment that you had with God in the last month.
In the last month, I'm going to tell you, it happened this weekend. 8 years ago, I went to a conference for speakers and writers feeling, Lord, what am I doing here? I do not belong here, feeling inadequate, overwhelmed, all those things that the enemy tells you. You may not be a speaker and writer, but you may be a mom. You may be a high-powered executive. Whatever you're doing, you have those moments when you're like, Lord, what am I doing here? And I was in that training, and all I know is the Lord told me, put your yes on the table and watch what I do. And so I did that 8 years ago, and just this past weekend was asked to come and be the keynote speaker at that conference, which, by the way, is super intimidating because the people that are the best trainers of speakers and writers are in there, and then a bunch of people who want to be speakers. So I asked the Lord, help me to go in your confidence, not my own, and walk out there in your calling, the giftings you've given me, to be Jen Hand, not insert the speaker's name that was leading the conference, because that's a temptation. So I went out there, I snorted on stage, which is not professional, but I cracked myself up, you know, and I felt the Lord's pleasure like never before, because he said, 8 years ago, you said yes, and now look at what I can do. So I just want to encourage you to be you and your calling as you sow your seeds and live fully alive in it.
We hope you've enjoyed episode number 163 of Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules.
Head on over to gritandgracegirls.com/episode163. There you'll find this week's transcript, our Digging Deeper download, which is a printable resource that helps you to apply what you've learned in this episode, and a link to Jen Hand's website and resources.
Mark your calendars for August 28th, when we'll be hosting a Facebook virtual party to launch our Exhale small group curriculum materials. We would love to have you join us for encouragement and games and prizes. If you head over to exhalebook.com/study and share your email, you'll be entered to win a prize pack, which includes a leader's guide, study guide, and 10 copies of Exhale.
Be sure to join us next week when our sweet friend Amanda Davison will be joining us for the next episode in the Seed Sender series.
For today, grow your grit, embrace God's grace, and when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and break it.